The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here. Today
FM. I wonder, will that rain be anything like they've experienced in Britain in the last 24 hours? Continental Europe, where we have seen now over 200 people die in Belgium and Germany because of the extraordinary flooding that was caused by torrential rain. And of course, we've also seen China and the United States in recent weeks dealing with absolutely enormous downpours of rain within very, very short periods of time. We have Professor John Sweeney with us, the climatologist. Because, John, I'm not asking you for any weather forecasts for Ireland for the next few days or whatever. What I do want to talk to you about, though, is this phenomenon of very, very heavy rain, whether we're prepared for it and why it's happening.
Well, good afternoon, Matt. Yes, as your intro said, all good things come to an end, and our long heat wave here, the fourth heat wave we've had in the last 8 years, has now come to an end, and it's coming to an end elsewhere. As you said, also with a bang, with thunderstorms and with heavy torrential rain. And it's not unusual for this to happen, of course, because the ground has become so warm that it renders the air above very unstable and rises. And we get these huge downpours of convective rain over a short period of time. And places like London, even more nearer home, actually, places like Galway a couple of days ago, experienced these kinds of torrential downpours. It's something that reflects the fact that the air is warmer, and for every 1 degree warmer the air is, it can hold 7% more water vapour. So a warmer atmosphere is inherently a more unstable atmosphere when it comes to releasing that water vapour as rainfall. And we've seen some huge, as you said, huge events ranging from the torrential floods in Germany and Belgium to China. All of those have connections with what's going on in the upper atmosphere and connections also with our own heat wave here and indeed with the events in the United States and elsewhere.
Okay, so, what are those connections? Take us through them.
The connections are really what the upper air is doing, because this is going to be remembered, I think, as the summer of extremes. And extremes come when we get the weather systems locked in position for a long period of time, when they don't move across us with the same regularity and speed. And we've been seeing the jet streams over the past month or so get locked in position with big ridges over, for example, Ireland and the UK a few weeks ago, giving us our heat wave conditions, and then the corresponding troughs for the jet stream swing south over Germany, giving them the kind of cut-off trough which gave them that horrendous 2 months rain in 2 days event. And all of that is connected as well with ridges further upstream, if you like, over North America, with their heat dome and the fires of the western United States, and indeed with also with the China floods as well. It's all part of a system which has become more sporadically irregular this summer and has locked in position weather systems in places which are quite alien. As we know, here in Ireland, we don't have many heat waves. And the big question, the big research question, of course, is this something connected with climate change, or is it something that's natural? And that's the research frontier, if you like, in this area at the moment, because there is a school of thought which says, OK, we're warming up the Arctic twice as quick as the rest of the world. It may well be, therefore, that the gradient that drives the jet streams is weaker because of that, and that may well cause them, rather like a river which has lost momentum, to start meandering and get locked in position more frequently than they did before. And that's one of the things that people are really researching very actively at the moment, with that hypothesis in mind. And if it's true, of course, it means that we do face increased extremes down the road as the world warms further. And that does mean that the kind of events we had in Ireland this week and last week will probably become more frequently in the future.
John, I suppose then, how extreme is the weather going to be in Ireland, where we have, well, you could say benefit or suffered from a more moderate climb because of the jet stream, the Atlantic jet stream, but will we suffer the sort of torrential rain of sort of 2 months within 2 hours? Or is that going to be something that'll be in other parts of the world that we'll continue to have our soft days when it comes to rain?
Oh, we'll continue to have our soft days, undoubtedly. We won't get the build-up of heat to the same extent as they're getting in places elsewhere on the continent at the moment. We won't get to the 40 degree centigrade values that they had in France last year. So we won't get that really big energy build-up. But we will see the kind of intense downpours becoming more frequent than they were. We won't get to 33 degrees centigrade in this heat wave, probably not for another couple of years, probably. But we will, because of our surrounding ocean, we will have a lot more rainfall in winter especially, and we will have a tendency for shorter, sharper, more intense bursts of rainfall during the hot summer periods that we also will experience. So it's good news and bad news. We are protected to some extent from the very worst excesses, but we will have that gradual and perceptible increase in rainfall intensity, which we've noted in Ireland over the past decade. That will continue.
Do we have the infrastructure to cope with these things? Because one of the arguments that climate change sceptics have put forward in recent years was, now, no matter what happens and what is the cause of climate change, they say that we will have the technology to be able to deal with it and to adjust and adapt when it comes to food supplies, population movements, and just protection against extreme weather. But do we have an infrastructural deficit that means that we simply can't cope, or if not just in Ireland, across continental Europe, with sudden emergences of large quantities of water?
Well, across continental Europe, the European Commission have estimated that if we don't get our infrastructure in order, we will face an annual flood bill of 48 billion euros. That's something like eight times our current annual average bill across Europe. So, yes, we can cope if we spend the money, if we adapt, if we build the defences where they're appropriate to build them, we can cope. But perhaps we also need to take lessons from people like the Dutch, who have long coped with floods, and they have a very interesting sort of way of doing it called room for the river, allowing the rivers to store water upstream, allowing the water to percolate more slowly into the main channel. And that has alleviated their flood problem considerably. It's worth noting that the Netherlands did not suffer like Belgium and Germany in last week's floods. So there are things you can do naturally to alleviate problems like this. And we just have to plan appropriately to do that, and we have to spend appropriately to avoid the floods. Now, we are spending a lot of money from our OPW work in Ireland over the next decade or so. That will be necessary to protect towns and population from risks, because we don't want to go down the same road as they have in Germany and Belgium, where people are exposed to risk in a large scale.
Okay, and what else do we need to do in Ireland, do you think?
Well, it's obvious that if we want to alleviate the problem in the medium and long term, if we want to avoid that scenario for 2100 or even 2050, it's quite clear we have to play our part also on the international stage in terms of contributing to tackling the problem at source, i.e. reducing our emissions. And the time for pointing fingers at other countries is past. The time for pointing fingers at other sectors is past. Everybody now has to pull their own weight and make their fair contribution to tackling this problem. And only then can we stand up and point fingers at the Chinese or the Indians or the Americans and say, you know, you're not doing enough, because we are certainly not doing enough at the moment, as our evidence in our emissions trend has shown over the past decade. And only then can we stand up and say we are a climate leader rather than a climate laggard.
One final thing, Professor John Sweeney. I was reading a fascinating piece yesterday about also changing food production in Europe, that now things like avocados are being grown in Sicily, where they once used to do wine, because wine now is getting extreme temperatures, can't be grown properly, and that wine is now spreading into parts of the world like Canada and Kent in England, where they reckon the vineyards of the future will be.
Indeed. Indeed, and we had some vineyards in the south of Ireland. I think we may have one or two left at this stage, but those are part and parcel of the consequence of warmer summers. We know in Ireland our growing season, for example, has already increased by about 2 weeks because of the 0.65 increase in our average annual temperature that has occurred in the past 30 years. So there will be new possibilities opening up, especially for growing crops like maize, for example. It may not be too good for crops that like a lot of moisture in the summer, such as potatoes, but there will be opportunities for Irish agriculture and indeed for European agriculture to exploit warmer temperatures, but it will have to be done carefully. Avocados are one thing, but they may not be the answer for many parts of Europe.
Thank you very much for being with us, Professor John Sweeney, climatologist.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today.